from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. A new month is upon us, and we are getting ready to wind down an old year. An old year, the same crap that we dealt with in 2020. And what will bring? What will 2022 bring? Well, I can tell you already, excitement, because the Ultimate Sports Show Grand Rapids has been announced by Showspan. Looks like it'll take place the 10th through the 13th in Grand Rapids at DeVos Place, DeVos Hall. And it's going to be great. It's going to be nice to get out and see people still heading in the Grand and see new products and everything else and just get out and be normal people, have a beverage, and see all the new products and some of the stuff that's been out for a while. Maybe book a guide trip, whatever it is that you want to do, but want to get out to the Ultimate Sports Show in Grand Rapids. That'll be happening. We put that up on our Facebook page, our website, wildmichiganradio.com, and our friends that bring us to you every week are our friends at Conquest Scents in Michigan right here, makers of VS1, and the Evercalm Scents in a Stick, plus the Fire, just, you know, their vaping scent is absolutely incredible, so make sure you check those out as well. Links to their website are on our website. Also, the United Deer Farmers of Michigan and Not Just Guns, which are still doing their Wednesday night auctions, getting back and running with those. Of course, they took it off just before Black Friday, and they'll have those back up and running, but lots of deals throughout in the store and at notjustguns.com. Normally, we're waiting until about late January to talk to this guy, but I figure you don't want, why not? Why don't we shake things up a little bit? Got to bring in Keith Stanton, the ultimate pike spearing guy that we know here, and pike jigging and all the stuff you do through the ice. We don't have ice yet, but I figure, you know what? Why not get a jump on this thing? Because usually we're talking about it in full swing. The season is, but we're a little early. So, Keith, welcome, buddy. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me again, Dred. Always good to come on the show and talk fishing, my favorite thing.
Well, it is. You know, we were talking about the wonderful weather we've had here. It's a little bit of snow this week. I'm like, you know, the older I get, the more I'm like, spring is looking good this year.
But yeah, I'm not a fan of winter. I love to ice fish, but I am not a fan of winter. But it won't be long. I mean, the temperatures are looking good as far as getting that ice, that water ready to go. And gosh, I almost think we might be fishing by Christmas if we're lucky.
You know, and that won't be bad. But you know what? Let's talk about getting the gear, because usually, sometimes, unfortunately, when you start thinking about pike spearing gear or the gear we're going to need to go ice fishing, it's gone. I mean, now is the time to head up to Frank's or wherever it is, your local place that you go, and find the gear you need. And I'm going to throw a little shout-out to Beaver's Lures up in Escanaba that we had the chance to meet them over the summertime. And man, I tell you what, that little store is starting to really bring in some stuff. But what is it that you are taking out? Because, I mean, you've done this for a while, and, you know, minimal gear is kind of helpful.
Yeah, especially if you're, you know, depending on how far you're having to truck across the ice, and if you're setting a permanent, if you're setting in a permanent shack that's already out there. I fish a lot out of a portable, so I try to pack light. And, you know, that's what's great about the pike spearing sport. All you really need is a shanty, a spear, and a decoy. I mean, when it comes right down to it. You take your auger, you can get a spearing hole with an auger or a spud. There's not a whole lot involved, of course. your chances are better. The more toys and you know things you take out on the ice, you can always make life easier. But now is the time, especially this year with the supply shortages and things like that. I know a lot of stores are late on getting their orders, and some are thinking they're not even going to get some of the winter stuff. So you're exactly right, Duran. Now is the time to take your inventory and go buy what you need, because it may not be there here in another month.
You know, and that's another month. I think if they get this word, that they might be out a little sooner. But, you know, it's been weird because you've got so much stuff sitting on shipping containers in these ports or sitting out to sea because they can't get the containers. They can't find people to work, which blows my mind at some of the rates that even fast food is paying nowadays. But, you know, we are suffering. We are suffering by not getting the goods that were so readily available to us.
Yeah, and I want to say this generation, but, you know, now everything, we're always used to everything, you know, you order today, it's here tomorrow, and it's kind of shocking. Like, what do you mean I can't get that, you know, and next day? And it's we're living in interesting times. That's why there's nothing better than to go sit on the ice and just, you know, think about nothing and catch some fish. That's what it's all about.
Now, you know, a lot of these hub style shacks and things that you can connect and make bigger and stuff, those are all, a lot of them made overseas as well. And how is that looking for supplies? Because that's been a huge thing this year and last year.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know there was some shortages last year, and I'm fortunate to have several of them, so I'm not really in the market for one. I'm not sure where they sit on that. Frank's usually has a pile of them, but it'll be interesting to see. It will be interesting.
It's times like this that I really miss Mark and Dave Chappelle from, you know, the guys in Grand Ledge that were building these things here in the United States, putting them together, and just you knew where they were.
I miss them so much. They were right up the road from me, number one. But the main thing is, you know, they've been out of business, or they sold the business, you know, several years now. And I'm still using all the original shanties I got from them. I mean, 7-8 years ago, the hub styles, the zippers are still good. I mean, they made a great product. And yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I miss those guys.
And the other thing is, too, because I know we're short on this segment, but is you can accessorize things like the Bay Runner or, you know, some of those self-enclosed shanties out there. I mean, just incredibly with lights, with Bluetooth sound. I mean, this is like a small, smaller version of a tiny house that you can take with you out on the ice.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, I'm only 45, but when I was a kid fishing, I mean, you had wooden, you know, if you wanted to be in shelter, it was wood or somebody's homemade tarp, you know, thing. It's really come a long way. And now that you see it, you're like, well, of course, why wouldn't you have something like that? But, yeah, we're spoiled. We are definitely spoiled.
Absolutely. You're speaking with Keith Stanton, pikespearing.com. Just getting this conversation warmed up before the second segment where we really get into things, because you know what? It's not a big deal with supply and demand for Keith, because he makes his own decoys. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about colors and talk about the spearing in general, because the ice isn't here yet, but we're getting on board and getting ready to get this a little bit early, being a little optimistic here. Wild Michigan being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. Don't let that small building fool you. And check them out also as well at notjustguns.com.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan. Cross the line at an hour to time.
Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Happy December to each and every one of you. We are fully into it. The final month of 2021. Didn't realize. I mean, seriously, when you're a kid in high school in the 80s and you go, wow, the 2020s, I'm never going to make it. I'm going to be so old. Well, I'm not that old and I made it. So even with all the stuff that's going on, man, we're still here and happy to be bringing you the show. Talking with my good friend Keith Stanton, and pikespearing.com is his website where you can find his pike killer lures and his cool ice fishing apparel that he has, and his decoys. And it's really funny when a lot of people think decoys, you know, they see these realistic looking, I mean, looks just like a real fish type decoy, and then you see the price and you go, why would I want to put that down a hole and possibly lose it or get it destroyed? And then you see Keith's decoys and you go, well, that one looks like a Van Halen guitar.
I'm not sure if that's a compliment or not.
No, that's actually where I come from in the world, you know, of almost 30 years in the classroom business. That is a compliment. But to a newbie, somebody that thinks you have to make it look like a fish, like a real live fish, I was shocked, honestly, the first time I ever saw him. I'm like, huh. But it's about outline, and color is an added advantage to us.
Yeah, I say my decoys are the working man's decoys. You know, they're $25, and if you lose one, you're not heartbroken at the end of the day. And now that's not to take away from some of these decoys that these makers make. I mean, they are just absolute works of art. And you're right, I would be afraid to put them down the hole. You know. But I just found, you know, gaudy, bright, ugly, you know, it's almost like the worse it looks, the better it works for attracting a pike. They're curious by nature, so, you know, I like throwing something different down there. They see fish every day, you know, this is something different, make them want to come in to investigate. And even though they do hit these ugly decoys a lot of times, you know, you don't need them to hit it because you just throw in the spear. So, yeah, I like something gaudy and bright and ugly, and if it makes a little noise, a little rattle, that's even better for me.
Yeah, oh, by no means was that a a dig on your decoys. I mean, other than the groovy sense. But you know, we have to. I mean, this is actually, to me, thinking outside the box, because you have some lure manufacturers that will make a lure that looks like a bait ball. Well, you know, it just looks like a bigger fish, I'm thinking, because it's an outline and it's, you know, motion. Okay, that's to me what I think they're seeing. And with pike, they're so reactionary. They're curious, and then they react. But it's like you have to almost have that right action for them to react.
Yeah, for sure. And it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. You know, they like that reaction, but also one of our top sellers on the site is something called teaser balls. And this is a golf ball that's painted up, you know, with some bright colors. And below the golf ball, there's a some type of spoon on it, either a willow-bladed spoon or a daredevil-type spoon with no hooks. And we hang that in the shanty, and we put it on like a spinner, and it just spins around. And it's just stationary. It spins around, but it stays stationary. And these pike come in like crazy just to check it out. Very seldom do they hit it, but they come flying in just to see what it is. And so it's... You know, that's why I love fishing for pike. They're such a unique fish in that you can throw just about anything down there, and they will come in just to take a peek at it. And it's just so exciting when you have them, you know, beneath your feet. And big or small, you never know what they're going to do. They can be so ferocious. It's just so exciting to watch them come in.
You know, I'll speak with Keith Stanton here on Wild Michigan. Pikespearing.com is his website. Keith, I'm looking at that teaser ball. Yeah, and you know what? It is very different looking, but at the same time, knowing the curiosity of that predator fish, why wouldn't it come at it?
Right. No, I agree. And it's, you know, when guys were first starting to use those, I thought, oh, you got to be kidding me. You know, who's going to buy a golf ball? And eventually I'm like, all right, people are buying enough of these things, I got to start making them, and I just can't keep them in stock. It's just, you know, and anyone can make it, you know. So it's such an interesting sport. That's why I love it so much.
You know, and it really begs the question, why would you buy a golf ball to throw it in the water, literally? I mean, I lose enough on a course as it is.
My, My father-in-law is a big golfer, and that's where I get my golf balls from. And I said, you know, if you could, they really like the Titleist. And he looks at me and says, really? Why? I said, I'm just kidding. I'll take whatever you got, you know.
it's the asymmetrical dimples in that ball that really kind of, you know, that really kind of help it. But no, that's great. I mean, all this stuff you can see for yourself. Keith Stanton's pikespearing.com is the website. And you also manufacture pike killer lures, which is a vertical jigging lure for pike. I mean, it's a big skirted lure that's a vertical jigger.
Yeah, and guys are using these in their spearing shack, too, as like a replacement for a decoy. And this year, I think we got 5 or 6 new colors. And we've been selling them for, gosh, it's been 8 or 9 years now. And, you know, they work great. I put them on tip-ups. I also jig with them. You put them on a tip-up and put a lively minnow on them. And, you know, I usually run 2 of my tip-ups with the lures on them, and then I run 1 tip-up that has just a treble hook with a minnow. And, you know, they are, for as ferocious as they are, the fish, they are also finicky. Some days, you know, that lure will outperform the plain bait, you know, all day long. And then other days, the pike like just that plain presentation. So I always tell guys, you know, when they're going out, mix it up. Give them a couple different options to look at. Key in on what they're doing on that particular day. And then, you know, change all your gear over and really target them hard with what they're actually biting that particular day. Because it does change.
It does, and different colors will react differently with light. There are so many variables, and you know that's why you go out with a lot of different everything. You know, even sizes too, because you know it's not always big decoy, big pike. I mean, because they're like born angry from the minute they hatch to you know the time they you know mature. That. It's a curiosity thing, but it's almost like a it's definitely inherent in a predatorial, you know, way.
Yeah, and I say, you know, I say over and over, it's so much of the pike spearing sport is just right place, right time, hungry or curious fish. You know, I mean, that's what it comes down to. You're on a big piece of real estate, and you're looking down a 2x3 hole, and you just got to be lucky enough to either coax them in or have them swim by. You know, and that's the challenge, and that's what it's all about, is that challenge and the gratification when you do have success, because it is so challenging.
Now, I'm going to get to the question real quickly that's on everybody's mind. What's your biggest pike through the ice on a spear or on a pike killer lure?
Through the ice on a spear was 42 inches and 20 pounds, 42 and a half, don't forget that half.
Right.
On the pike killer lure, and I've got video of this fish, me catching it, it was every bit of that big, but I did not weigh or measure it because it was very cold. I jigged it through the ice, and I wanted to get it back in the water, so I held it up for the camera, and I released it. But I don't know, that one was probably had to be 40 pounds. I don't know. It wasn't 40 pounds. But, you know, it was a big fish. When people see that video, it really opens their eyes to, you know, just what is lurking around in these lakes that they have no idea. Almost all lakes, if they've got pike, there's a big one in there.
Yeah, and there's a lot of those types around here, and definitely up in the northern part of Michigan as well. Keith Stanton, pikespearing.com. Thanks so much, brother. Appreciate you joining us in the early part of the season here on Wild Michigan.
Thanks for having me, Duran. I appreciate it.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here via podcast, via the radio stations of the Michigan Talk Network. Either way, man, we love having you here, and welcome to December. We are fully into it now. The firearm deer season for Michigan over. Of course, we have the late muzzleloader season. We got bow, the late bow season, the late waterfowl seasons that'll be happening, and all of the other great stuff. But if you want to stay inside, stay warm, and read about it up for next year, may I suggest one of the wonderful books from Richard P. Smith, who is currently our guest here on Wild Michigan, noted and award-winning Michigan author and videographer and storyteller, all of the great things that are Richard, as he joins us right now on his way back home from the tippy tops of Michigan up deer hunting, but up around the Houghton area right now. Richard, welcome back, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great, Duran. How are you?
Doing well, man, knowing that we're going to get some warmer days just for a little bit in December before it all just turns cold. And, you know, we start either getting ready for the ice fishing seasons or the late bow season that I don't know how many are going to partake in this year since we have actual snow and cold. But you know what? A good warm heated blind could still make some things happen.
I like snow and cold.
You do.
It's better hunting.
One of those rare guys that, no, I'll go farther north to go hunting. I'm not going to stay in Marquette. No, I'm going to go where it's really cold and hunt there. But you had a good season this year.
Well, I always have a good season. But another one this year, of course. I made one of my most unique and unusual kills this year. It shows the benefits of always having your rifle ready and handy, regardless of what you're doing out there. I was changing some batteries in one of my trail cameras at a bait I had, and baiting is still legal in the Upper Peninsula here. And I finished changing the camera batteries, and I was crouched down doing... When I was done, I stood up and turned around. There was a buck standing there staring at me. I'd never had anything like this happen before. I doubted that buck would stand there while I grabbed my rifle, but he continued to stand there and stare at me as I raised the rifle and shot him. Dropped him in his tracks.
Unbelievable.
If I hadn't taken my rifle with me to change the batteries in that camera, I would have missed an opportunity to fill the tag.
That's awesome. Now, did you get the batteries changed before you took the shot?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
I finished, and I stood up and turned around. I assume the buck was trailing a hot doe that had been at the bait prior to my arrival, and he may even have thought I was a doe. I was dressed fully camouflaged, except for my orange hat. He was totally confused.
That's amazing. That's fantastic. I love to hear stories like that because, I mean, look, how many of us go out every year? We sit in our blinds or our stands or the places that we normally go, and either we get things are too far off, or we miss that opportunity because we're not thinking correctly, or even worse yet, we've distracted ourselves by our cell phone and we missed the shot.
Yeah. In fact, I had spent 5 hours on a stand that morning without seeing a single deer, and then it was at 2 in the afternoon when I changed those batteries and killed that buck.
That's amazing. That's just amazing. Now, will that make it into an upcoming book? I mean, it has to, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it'll make it somewhere.
Right. Richard P. Smith is our guest. He is a fantastic author and a great guy. We love him. He's been with us here for the 15 years that this show has been on the air. You can find him and his books at richardpsmith.com. Normally, about this time of year, we would find you on the road at the various bookstores throughout the state promoting your books. But
exactly.
With the COVID and everything else, here we go with another variant, but, that's not going to happen this year.
No. This was the second year in a row that I'm not doing my normal book signing tour because of the virus, but I'm hoping people who are interested in my books and DVDs will order them from my website or go to a store that has stocks my books.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of them. Great Michigan Deer Tales. There's several volumes of that. Tracking Wounded Deer, which, you know what, is always a great guide to have with you or to study up on prior to season or even after. I mean, these are great gifts. I know I have quite a few of them that I've looked throughout the course of the years. And the videos as well. And one of my favorite has always been Field Judging Black Bear.
Yes, that's been a very popular DVD. Field, as you know, and most hunters who hunt bears are one of the most difficult big game animals to judge as far as the size and sex of the animals. This DVD gives some simple tips that anybody can use to judge the animals they see.
Yeah, I mean, because you always hear a lot of times if you've been around the bear world, the term shrinkage.
Ground shrinkage is common.
It is very common.
Exactly.
And Richard, I guess, you know, if you've never hunted a bear before, it can be difficult to size them. I mean, there are some key things that you've talked about, you know, with bait barrels and putting things up certain heights to judge. Of course, there's the triangulation, if you will, of the head of the bear to get a basic idea of size. At a camp in Canada that I went to, this happened to somebody. You know, he thought it was a much bigger bear than what he had shot, and frankly, the bear was probably 3 years old and not big at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I said, that's common. It happens to some hunters every year.
Yeah, it does, and you know, again, it's just part of knowing what you're going after. In Canada, things are very different. I mean, there's a lot of bears up in the Ontario area where we hunted, and you know, there were rules, but the size thing wasn't a huge one. I mean, when you hunt bear, you get the rules, but again, when you go out and you're paying that kind of money, you definitely want something that's a little more trophy worthy, I guess.
Exactly. And for beginning bear hunters or even hunters that are experienced, I've got a black bear hunting book also. It's simply called Black Bear Hunting. It's a second edition. It has a tremendous amount of information for bear hunters.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I mean, a lot of people, there are a lot that do hunt bear in Michigan, and guides are expensive, and you know, dogs, if you use dogs, whatever the case, it's not a cheap sport, and to draw a tag takes a very long time to get a preferred area, unless you're hunting the western part of the UP, which is can be a pretty much over-the-counter situation up there. But
Most UP bear management units, you can get a bear tag within a reasonable number of years, even if you want to hunt that first hunt. But the Lower Peninsula, that's where it takes 10 years or more to draw a tag.
Well, I was checking my bear preference points the other day. I've got 11, so I think maybe now I better start looking at places to hunt a bear in southern Michigan. Richard P. Smith is our guest here. We're going to talk more with Richard in a couple of seconds. We want to find out more. There's more stories coming, speaking of bears, in just a few minutes, so stick around. We are being brought to you by our friends at Conquest Sense, makers of all kinds of great things like VS1 and Evercalm, plus the Scentfire scent distribution system. Check that one out. That is awesome. All at our website, wildmichiganradio.com.
A powerful threat calls for a greater response.
When there's a battle, bring strength.
When there's a problem, seek answers.
When there is doubt, give hope.
Not tomorrow.
Not in a few years.
But right now.
Some battles must be faced together. Cancer fighters stand up to cancer every day.
and you can be
part of the Michiganiac, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating
visit
the almighty Michigan Spirit of the Wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild.
Together, we can save lives.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street, 127 in Mason. And you can find them online, notjustguns.com. Don't forget the Wednesday night auctions. Buy it on Wednesday night, pick it up on Thursday. It's that simple. And they do a great job over there, man. And happy birthday to Theodore von Nugent Berger. I think Ted's going to be 73 this year, a fellow Sagittarian, his birthday coming up on the 13th. We're about 12 days apart, Ted and I, and a few years, about 18 years as well. But that being said, another great Michigander, a Youper, is on the phone with us right now. Our good friend Richard P. Smith. His website is richardpsmith.com. I encourage you to go there and pick up, you know, peruse through the books he has available and find where you can get them and purchase them. Do yourself a favor and do a good deed by supporting a local Michigan author here that we have on the show. And we talked a little bit about bear hunting here in Michigan and field judging the black bear and whatnot. But you had a pretty cool bear experience this year as well.
Exactly. It's a year for unusual experiences. I've been bear hunting for over 50 years, and I've never had anything happen like this before. I was hunting with a group of friends during the third hunt in the Upper Peninsula in the Barrigo Bear Management Unit. If you apply for the third hunt in the UP, you have an excellent chance of getting a permit every year or every other year. And that's what this group of friends of mine and I do. On opening day, which was September 25th, I was with one of the members of the group, Seamus McGill, who's a Michigan Tech student. He killed a bear before dark, and in fact, I was sitting in my vehicle waiting to hear him shoot. I expected him to fill his tag, which he did. So I went to the bay with my camera to photograph him with his bear. And when I started photographing, there was another bear that was circling us that wanted to come to the bay. And I had a tag in my pocket. I could have used Seamus's rifle to shoot the bear, but if I didn't, because it wasn't acting aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
I even chased it away a couple times, but it kept coming back. There were some bigger bears on that bait, and I think this bear was trying to avoid contact with those bigger bears and wasn't afraid of us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it had little contact with Ken. We eventually drug Seamus's bear away from the bait, and the bear came and started eating with us 20 yards away.
That's crazy.
I'd never experienced anything like that before.
You know, and you know this firsthand, if you've never been bear hunting, if you want to see what the true definition of dead weight is, try dragging a bear that's about 200 pounds or more through the woods.
Exactly. And that's about the size of Seamus's bear. It was a 185 when we weighed it. And the bear that was circling us was similar in size, and it was another male. And I knew there was bigger bears there. That's another reason why I didn't want to shoot that one.
Mm-hmm. You know, Richard, when I think we may have talked about this before, but I did a hunt in Canada a number of years ago, and we were walking in on the bait pile. My guide, a young fellow, comes back and said, wait, there's a bear on the bait pile. I said, mm-hmm. Okay. So I grabbed my release, put it on my arm. I walked up towards the bear with my bow. He popped his head up. I kind of tucked my head down to look through the brim of my hat to see what it was going to do. It looked at me, went back to eating. I drew. For whatever reason, I thought I might have hit something or whatever because it skipped low in front of the bear.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, all on film, I have no idea at this point what happened. We get in the tree stand about an hour and a half later. The same bear comes in.
Uh-huh.
So I take a shot, and it goes right between his legs. And I'm like, how is this possible? There's nothing in my way. Well, I'm looking back at the guy filming everything. I said, what's going on? He looks, he starts pointing downward. The bear had gone around the tree and come back to the bait pile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, third arrow, I draw back and I hit it. Brisket shot went through. It was not a clean shot. It was a clean miss is what it was.
Not a
fatal hit at all. Mm-hmm. So it takes off, and I'm like, oh, it was a lousy shot. I don't know what's going on. Well, about maybe half hour after that, it's getting towards dark. We had a smaller bear come in, walk up on the bait pile, smelled the arrow that had gone through the other bear, all of a sudden started huffing, mock charging towards the tree stand and everything else, which I thought was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, I'm not taking a shot at another bear, especially the one that's a lot smaller than the one I just shot at.
Right.
They went to track the bear the next day, nothing, because we had to leave. About a month later, I pulled my bow out of the case. I just didn't know what happened. I touched the sight, and the sight just went droop down. It was loose, had come loose,
uh-huh.
Probably on the quad right out, and I never checked it when we got out there.
So, yeah, that can happen.
But, you know, it goes back to, you know, when that other bear smelled the big one. I mean, he got all brave for a few minutes and then he left.
Right. Well, in Ontario, bears have less contact with people than they do here in Michigan. And some of them haven't learned to fear people.
Right. No, and you know, and we've taken everything you've taught us, too, about, and I think that's why I was so confident standing about 20 yards from a black bear on a bait pile, which was quite big, is because I knew and I was prepared for what I was going to do should it look at me and start coming at me. You know, because of all the conversations I had with you, I had this, you know, sense of some security, not too much, but that I had a good chance.
Yeah.
So that I have to say thanks.
He just wasn't afraid of people.
No, not at all. Absolutely amazing. But well, I tell you what, you've got a lot of books on there. Is anything that you're working on? Any articles that you got coming up in the next couple of weeks or months?
Well, I'm working on book 8 of Great Michigan Deer Tales. Look for it next year. It should be out.
Well, that's fantastic. It's a shame we don't get to see you on the road, but we always love having you here on the show, you and best Lucy as well. And Ultimate Sports Show coming up in Grand Rapids, March 10th through the 13th. So far, it's scheduled, as is the boat show that they have coming up. But, you know, we look forward to at least seeing you at some point in time, but we can always find you on the internet at richardpsmith.com.
Always a joy talking to you, Duran.
Absolutely. Happy December, Richard. Congratulations on some great stories and some great kills this year. And Merry Christmas to you and Lucy, man. We appreciate you joining us.
Same to you and your wife.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Richard P. Smith, a fantastic author here in Michigan, a true treasure. Check out his books and his DVDs. RichardPSmith.com is where you can find him. And when we can get him back on the road again, when things start to, I don't know, get to the point where we can do that, then that's how it's going to work. But as always, we love having him here, and find him and his books, richardpsmith.com. I'm Duran Martinez. You're listening to Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.